welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Here we are in downtown Toronto, the 2020 Prospectors and Developers Association, Mickey Folt. We are in our favorite watering hole in Toronto.
In downtown Toronto, we're burrowed in on the second level of the bar. We're looking up at the sidewalk outside, and I guess it's all the Vancouverites that came in for this show, but they brought Vancouver weather with them, Rob.
Yeah, that's nice, though, because that's not what we're used to this time of year here in Toronto. I think it was about 6 degrees Celsius today. A little bit of fog, mist, a little bit of rain, but that's all right. I have not been down to the PDAC just yet, Mickey, but if I had been, you would have been sticking out like a sore thumb. You've got this bright yellow shirt on, this beautiful red tie.
And my blue, navy blue suit, and this is in tribute to Saul Goodman.
Okay.
This is my tribute to Saul. Better Call Saul is now in its fifth season, and of course, followers of that show and the previous show, Breaking Bad, all know that that is set in my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's right. Yeah, we've talked about that a number of times on the show. Looking at these markets, Mickey, absolute crazy times over the past couple of weeks or so. You know, what do you make of what's going on right now? Is there a fear and panic out there?
Well, absolutely. So markets are are motivated by three emotions. Greed when markets are good, panic when markets are really bad, and fear in the middle. So when markets are really good, and they have been really good, I think how many times we're about 40 trading days into the year right now, 42 maybe, and I dare say that probably 20 of those we had all-time record highs for the three major U.S. markets. That's greed, and we were very much due for a correction, and now that's come in. But with this virus fear, really what's happened is it's become a panic sale.
Right.
So fear, greed, panic, and you put fear in the middle. People are afraid of missing the next big thing, afraid of missing the run-up in a market, and on the other side, they're afraid of losing their entire wealth, so they panic and sell everything.
Right.
And it's absolutely the wrong way to
play
the market.
So you're indicating to me that perhaps this market was overdue for a pullback. At the same time, though, I don't think anybody out there anticipated the size or the magnitude of the retreat that we've seen.
Or the rapidity of it.
Right. Last week was the biggest losing week we have seen since the financial crisis back in 2008. So this would really hit with a wallop.
Well, it has, and it's fear of the unknown. And, you know, I trade without emotion, and if I ever have emotions one way or the other, I sit back and relax and say I don't need to be looking at the market right now until I develop a more rational opinion of it. But it's mass psychology, and the mass psychology right now is fear and panic. Although we did today, the 2nd of March, we did see a nice rally. I don't think this is over, but, you know, for all its kind of overbought character of the U.S. markets over the last year or so, I mean, record after record after record. The fundamentals behind stocks, the fundamentals behind the U.S. economy have not changed. They're compelling. This is the best market, the best U.S. economy that I have ever seen as an adult with assets and participating in the market.
Okay, looking beyond the next week, the next month, and even perhaps maybe a couple of years down the road, is this a buying opportunity, generally speaking?
It will be a buying opportunity. I don't think it's a buying opportunity yet because it hasn't really bought. There's no reason to think it's bottom.
Right.
You know, we're having more and more occurrences of the coronavirus outside of China. It will, I think, likely sweep through lots of nations mm-hmm. on the planet. But let's put it in perspective. This is just a different kind of flu.
Right.
It kills about 2%, but it's all elderly people for the most part it's killing. It's not killing infants. It's not killing young children. It's
right.
not killing adolescents. It's so from that token, you would expect, I think, that the death toll is going to be less than 2% in the first world countries because
right.
we have adequate medical care.
I guess as far as
it's going to take a while for all this to wash out, and certainly it's going to affect the entire world economy for probably a couple of quarters, if not longer.
I was going to ask you about that because I think maybe up until just a few weeks ago, there was the general feeling that this might be a one quarter event in terms of companies coming out and warning that their revenue, their earnings will not meet estimates because of this, the impact, the spillover impact of this virus. Now there's a creeping feeling, isn't there, Mickey, that this is going to last longer?
Well, that's what the media is telling us.
Okay.
And we all listen and watch the media, and so who knows?
Yeah.
You know, here's what I do know. The media always needs a crisis, and so this is the new crisis. The World Health Organization, an arm of the UN, a completely corrupt and criminal enterprise to begin with, led by a Marxist from sub-Saharan Africa who wanted to put Robert Mugabe in as an ambassador for the World Health Organization. This is the guy running the World Health Organization. They spent $200 million last year in travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives them a chance.
There is video conferencing now, you know. There's the
Well, and most of us don't travel first class when we're jetting around the world at those expensive tickets. But that said, and the other thing the markets need and the media needs is they need volatility. The traders and speculators mm-hmm. need volatility. Now, they don't like this much volatility, but it gives them ways to game the market either on the long or short side.
Right.
So I think the whole thing is overblown at this stage. I could be wrong. Only time will tell. But I go back to the fact that the U.S. economy is booming. I think our main concern at this stage with what we know, it will be supply chain disruption, mm-hmm. particularly from China for a
right.
while. But from what I understand, this thing is reined in Hubei province, and it's appears to be decreasing, and people are going back to the factories to work.
Yep.
So we'll just have to see how it plays out once again.
What's interesting about this whole supply chain disruption, Mickey, and I was speaking to an economist about this about a week ago. If you make cars, you can't sell that car if it does not have a turn signal indicator on it. If for whatever reason that turn signal indicator, you can't get it because of a thing of a breakdown in the supply chain, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be a huge crack in the supply chain in order for products to get held up from going to market.
You mean you can't buy the bulb that goes in?
Exactly.
So what are the cops going to do? Arrest everybody that makes a left turn without a signal? I don't. You know, if we get to that point, then. I don't think that's going to happen. You know,
no.
I remember the days when there were cars on the road that did not have signals. And what did you do? You roll down your window and you put your signal out. Straight arm mean you were going to turn left, and an arm at an angle, 90 degree, meant you were going to turn right. So, we go back to that, Rob.
You do that nowadays, you might lose an arm. Let's bring commodities into the conversation because they've certainly felt the heat of this market turbulence. And it's interesting, Mickey, we've seen days where the markets have tumbled, but so has the price of gold. And on the surface, we've kind of become expecting the opposite to occur, right? With markets are selling off on fear of what's ahead for the economy
and very low interest rates.
Right,
too.
And low interest rates.
That's very positive for gold.
Yeah.
Well,
so what's happening
with
gold?
Well, so what happened was gold went to 1670, 1675 on Wednesday. That would have been February, 26th or something like that. A seven-year high. And on Thursday and Friday, it immediately dropped. It closed Friday at 1585. So about a $90 drop. Reason? Margin calls. Strictly margin calls.
Right.
People are getting margin calls. The hedge funds in particular are getting margin calls. If you have a margin call, you have two choices. You put up the cash to cover your margin call, or the brokerage firm sells your stocks on the way down and just liquidates you to cover your margin calls. So what do hedge funds in particular do, or smart investors? They bail on gold. They bail on paper gold. They bail out the ETFs because gold, either paper or bullion, physical bullion, is absolutely the most liquid financial instrument on the planet.
Right.
So that's what drove gold down 90 bucks. It finished at 1585, and I think it closed today on March the 2nd, somewhere around 1590. So it's stabilized.
Okay.
Now, that's not saying if the markets were up today, if the markets come in and take another crap here, you know, we're at a correction level right now from the all-time highs. But, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago we set a whole week of all-time highs. That was only 2 weeks ago.
The world has changed in a very short period of time. Let me ask you how this is all playing out at the PDAC convention here in Toronto. What is the mood like down there? What is the big topics of conversation?
Talking heads like me, we talk a lot about what's going on with the markets and the coronavirus. They realize what's going on. I don't see any sign of panic or angst in the markets. People are trying to raise money, are not going to be able to raise money right now, so that's going to be put on hold. Attendance, yesterday I would have said it's significantly down. It looked down to me.
Right.
Today it looked as crowded as ever, so I don't have a good feel for that. One thing I do know, that there's significant people stayed away because of fears of the virus. There were, I spoke in the newsletter writers forum, and there were three well-known newsletter writers who canceled at the last minute.
And these are people who usually show up.
Absolutely. Yep. And people, one guy, I look at him, and, he's not somebody I think that would be afraid, if you will.
Right.
But three newsletter writers out of 12 that spoke canceled last minute, which put the convener of this event in a really world of hurt. I think it was rather shameful what they did, canceling it, because he had to scramble to fill his venue.
Now,
he got it done, but I dare say that the people that he replaced obviously were not part of the 12 that he chose originally, not his top picks, if you will. So there's no doubt that it's affected the attendance. It's going to affect financings. It's certainly going to affect the gold explorers or the commodity explorers because commodities are down.
Right.
Some people try to conflate gold and gold stocks. Does not compute. Does not work. So in a bad market, gold stocks, the gold miners will go down just like the market will, and the gold explorers will go down even more at some point because they're high risk. So in a topsy turvy market or a market under duress, what's the first thing casual speculators are going to do? They're going to dump their most highly volatile, high risk stocks.
Right. But you've been around the block a few times. Let's wrap it up with a comment from you, Mickey, in terms of putting this, if I can call it, a crisis in the markets into perspective, in terms of what you've seen before and what you see coming up.
It's going to be a buying opportunity at some point.
Okay.
You know, it's we're going to have, we were in an overbought market that needed a much, there was a much needed correction. We have our correction. We'll see how deep it goes. Wouldn't surprise me. It goes to 20%. We're at about 10 right now.
Yep.
But those present buying opportunities because fundamentally, and I go right back to the good old U.S. of A, the U.S. economy is the best I have ever seen. We have jobs that we can't fill because we don't have people to fill them. We have so many jobs in the U.S. And I don't see that changing. U.S. stock market is fundamentally sound. So we'll get through this. At some point, we will get near a bottom and there's going to be amazing buying opportunities. But it's, in my mind, it's a little too early to move in right now.
Still a great way to wrap it up on a positive note. Mickey, it was great to see you again.
Thank you very much, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.